Again, Post Office Box 968, Kempty, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Nisslu.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Some of you act like you ain't got no blessing with your name on it. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise for the blessing with your name on it.
Glory, glory.
Hallelujah. If you'll get your Bibles.
Amen.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this opportunity to hear from you. Meet us in Scripture. Show us. Give us your principles revealed and then power to practice them so we may profit from them and give you all praise. Thank you in advance for what you shall do through your word. This day in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I want you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11. Right. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11. And it says, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Glory, glory.
I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. Now this word, my brothers and sisters, is so important to understand the power of the wisdom of God's word. God's word for the believer is to understand that what God fills your mind with are his thoughts. His mind revealed to us, that we might know his position, that we might know his thought on a matter, that we might know what is his will, that we might know what God desires of us. The word of God is the wisdom or the truth of God. One of the wisest men who ever lived, Solomon, is sharing this important principle about wisdom. One of the things that we must recognize in the word of God is that God's word is filled with his truth or his wisdom. As a matter of fact, he has said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of my word shall ever pass away. God holds his word in high esteem. And it's important that we take on the mind of God as it relates to his word. There are a lot of things in this life we're trying to figure out when God has already recorded the answer to the question that we have in his word. If we really want to know what God has to say about anything, he's too wise of a God to leave it to chance or to a voice that you don't know and be misled because you don't have a reference point or you don't have a fundamental foundation by which to judge the voice of God. And he has given us this word. Solomon says in this word, wisdom says that he has taught him the way of wisdom. Now, what is that saying? I have taught you the way of wisdom. Simply stated, it means that if you are going to be successful in this life, it's going to be by the word of God. If you're going to be successful in this life, if you're going to learn your purpose, operate in your purpose, fulfill your purpose, you're going to need the wisdom of God through the word of God, so much so that you will have the process of principles that will take you from wherever you are to where God wants you to be. Too many times we depend on too many people and too many things other than God himself for the answer to our issues. God wants us to understand that he has already placed in his word all the information and inspiration we will ever need to connect with him and to be fruitful and to be productive and to be profitable and to be prosperous and to be successful in this earth. Romans 15 and 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Listen, if they were written for our learning, then that meant we must be patient and comfortable in the scripture knowledge that we will have hope in those very things that God has done for others, he will do for us if we honor his word. It makes no sense to give us just a historical account of things that happened and they have no relevance in today's time. That's just a good read. But what he placed there is so that we can build our faith upon those who have gone before and learn to hear and operate according to the wisdom of God and become successful in the things of God, or those who chose not to obey God and end up in a life of despair, a life of destruction. The choice is yours, but the writer says, I have taught you
in the way of wisdom. That means if I've got any questions, if I've got any issues, if I've got any doubts, if I've got any reservations, I need to take it to the Lord and discover what he has to say in his word. The way of wisdom means that I will seek God as the final authority upon everything that's worth anything in my life. God's got the answer. God has the answer, and the answer is written for all to see and all to know. And yet, if I trust him, I will learn how to resort to the word of God, so much so that I'll have the confidence in the word to know all I've got to do is be patient, trust what God has said, and everything will work out like he said, because he's not a man that he should lie. Back up to the 7th verse of this 4th chapter of Proverbs. And it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the main thing. Wisdom is the primary thing. Wisdom is the first thing you ought to get. Listen at this. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore, get wisdom. Wisdom will tell you how to get faith. Wisdom will tell you how to pray. Wisdom will tell you what to seek God for. Wisdom will tell you what direction to go. Wisdom will tell you how to operate. Wisdom will tell you when to be full and when to be hungry. Wisdom will tell you how to be abased and how to abound. Wisdom will tell you how to go in and come out. Wisdom is the principal thing. Our problem is we get so turned and twisted in this life because we don't have wisdom as the main teaching tool. Everything else follows the wisdom of God. The word of God gives to us everything we need to know in this life to be successful if we will yield to wisdom or the word of God or the thoughts of God. And so wisdom is the principal thing. Amen. It comes before everything else you're seeking. Wisdom. That's how important wisdom is. Put wisdom before your search for finances. Put wisdom before your search for a mate. I know a whole lot of you right now still crying because you didn't use wisdom in searching for a mate. Use wisdom before searching for a job. Christians ought to be careful where they work. Y'all are quiet on me here. Christians need to use wisdom in how they communicate with other folk and relationships as friendship, et cetera, et cetera. Wisdom is the principal thing in every area of both sacred and secular concerns. Wisdom is the principal main thing. If you get wisdom, the chances of your success in every area you have placed wisdom in will be more than not a successful reality. And then it says this, and with wisdom, and joined to wisdom, get you some understanding. Haven't you heard a little knowledge is a dangerous thing? You see, some people get a little knowledge and they think they're on the top of the world. Now listen, you got the Bible right there, many of you in your hand, in your homes, etc. You got the wisdom. The question is, do you have the understanding? You see, the wisdom is to know. But that's just knowledge in part. God wants you to know and to know how. I think I'll say that again. I think you missed that. Wisdom is to know and to know how. It's not just to know enough to know. You've got to know how to use what you know. When you know something and then know how it operates, then you can get the full function of a thing. Many of us carry our Bibles and we read our Bibles, but we don't have the understanding of our Bibles. So therefore, we have at best a surface understanding without deeper revelation or illumination on that word. And so many times, taking it out of context, taking it out of its true interpretive state, we don't really know what God is saying today, what he may have said originally to a certain people in a certain period and in a certain place might not be the same thing he's saying to you today. You've got to understand that his word has dispensational realities connected with him. There are some promises he's made to the children of Israel he didn't make to us today. But wisdom will teach you how to be relevant with what you know and how it works for you today. You see, that's one of the things about studying the Word of God that most people don't understand. They don't understand that in all of Scripture is the wisdom of God. The wisdom. So my primary concern is to learn what God wants me to know. That's the first thing. But the second thing I need to know is how those scriptures work in my life and in my situation. What good does it matter or make if I simply know a thing and don't know how it works? It's like having the combination to a safe. And yet, just because you have the combination, you still have to know which way to turn it. How many times to turn it? In what direction to turn it? Just because you have the combination don't mean you can go to it and just open it up. You got the knowledge, but you don't have the know-how. Once you get the knowledge, you've got to have the instructions of how to utilize that knowledge. That's the working of the scriptures. How do I apply it to my life? How do I take the words from Holy Writ and make them come alive in my life? See, that's what wisdom teaches you, how to know and how to do. And how to know and how to do for what? To win.
All right, all right.
See, we've got to have the wisdom of the word, the working of the word, and the win from the word to truly appreciate wisdom at its finest. You see, the whole reason why God has given you all of this is so when you spend the time with him in his word, meditating on it day and night, he gives you all that's necessary to unlock the meaning, the revelation of that scripture, and then teaches you how to apply it to your life so that you can be successful. Successful. Otherwise, you come to church Sunday in and Sunday out. You read the Bible, read a few pages. You get this notion, I'm going to read the Bible in a year, so you start off good for a few weeks. You get to some words you can't pronounce. Instead of taking time out to learn how to pronounce them, to find out what they mean, you skip over to my big word. You just reading. You're not really studying. You're not looking for the deeper meaning or the truth of the word. You're on a program trying to get through the word, and instead of letting the word get through you. And that's the difference between believers who are serious about the wisdom of God. It changes and transforms your life. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, wisdom will handle it. The wisest man, Solomon, here is one of the authors of Proverbs. But let me share with you his experience. In 1 Kings chapter 3, around about the 6th verse, talks about he fell into a dream, and God shared with him the realities of his newfound kingdom and asked him what he wanted him to do and gave him an opportunity to say what he wanted. And out of all of the things that most kings asked for, Solomon chose to ask for different. Verse 9 said that he asked God for an understanding heart and wisdom to judge his people righteously. He wanted to be able to judge between right and wrong, good and evil. He wanted to be able to be justified in his judgment so that God would be pleased as he made judgment calls as the king that God has placed over his people. And the Bible says God was pleased with his speech. And so God tells him, since you did not ask, one, for long life, two, for riches, or three, for the life of your enemy, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you wisdom and the ability to judge like none other. There won't be a king before you or a king after you who will have the wisdom that I will give you to be able to have an understanding heart and to judge my people. Oh, and by the way, what you didn't ask for, the riches, the power, and all of that good stuff, I'm going to add that to you anyhow. Well, it kind of sounds like Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Have I got a witness? I don't know how you feel about it, but not many verses later, Solomon's wisdom was tested. And I want to throw this principle out to you, my brothers and sisters. You need to know that when you ask God for a blessing, the devil will come messing. I wonder if I had a witness in the house. And I don't know how you feel about it, but here was young Solomon, a new king, and two women who were harlots. NIV version says prostitutes came to the king with their story. And the King Solomon was sitting there on his throne. And these two women came with one baby. And just so that we understand each other, I'm going to name it Harlot 1 and Harlot 2. Harlot 1 said, "Your king, my lord, I had a baby, and 3 days later, this other woman had a baby also. And it wasn't nobody in the house, but she and I and the baby. And one night while we were sleeping, harlot number 2 rolled over and smothered her baby. And in the middle of the night, she got up and took her dead baby and removed my baby from my arms and put her dead baby in my arms. And early the next morning, when I got up to give suck to my baby, I realized something was wrong. The baby didn't say a word, and the baby was cold. And as the light came up, I examined this baby, and I discovered that this baby wasn't mine. And I want to throw out parenthetically, just because a mother might be a harlot doesn't mean she don't love her child. Doesn't mean she don't know her child. This harlot knew her child. And she told the woman, "This is not my baby. This is your baby." Well, harlot number 2 said, "Oh no, this living baby is my baby." Harlot number 1 said, "No, that's my baby." So they said, "We'll bring it to the king and find out what the king has to say." So when they got there in front of Solomon, they both told their story. And Solomon listened at both of them and said, "I tell you what I'll do. Somebody bring me a sword." They brought Solomon a sword. Solomon said, "I tell you how I'm going to solve this matter. Let's take this baby. I Montgomeryize this right quick. You take one leg and you take the other leg, and I'm going to split this baby straight down the middle. I give you one half of this baby and give you the other half of this baby." And the woman, harlot number 2, said, "Well, that sounds like a good idea to me." But harlot number 1, having love for that baby, didn't want no harm to come to that baby, said, King, give that baby to that woman. I'd rather him be alive with her than to be dead with me." And harlot number 2 said, "No, I like your idea better. Split him down the middle." And the king said, "Now, I think I know who the real mother is. Give me this baby. Harlot number 1, take your child and go on home." And when Israel heard about how wise this king was and how he was able to judge rightly, they respected him with fear and admonition. And all I'm trying to tell somebody is, wisdom can work miracles. Wisdom can open doors. Wisdom can make ways out of no way. Get you some wisdom. The word says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God.